Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, baby. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610.
Haley, we need your opinion on something. If you turn around and look at the television screen.
Are they going to show Minshew?
There's a young quarterback. They're going to have to show Minshew by the end of it, I would imagine. They love showing Minshew and his bandana and his hair and his mustache and whatnot.
We need a woman's opinion.
We need a woman's opinion on whether Gardner Minshew does it for you or not, is if you find him to be an attractive young man. What's that? We'll point him out. He's gonna. We're gonna wait until the end of the screen because Gardner Minshew has a good game last night.
I'll pull him up on the computer in the meantime.
Okay. So Gardner Minshew last night did what I warned Texans fans he was capable of doing before the Texans game. He didn't look as good in the Texans game as he did last night on Thursday Night Football, but he is very much making a very good first impression as a young quarterback. So Ali is looking at him. See, he's got kind of
picture,
like a,
I think that picture kind of like captures his vibe, right?
80s beach vibe. That's a hard one. No, he's got to make a weird face there. He's making like a Muppet
face. I'm not sure on that one. I would say
Okay. He's got a whole vibe about him.
Okay.
I think you'd like
maybe
his vibe.
I just need a better picture.
Okay.
Or watch him play.
See what I can do.
Okay.
Better picture. How about this one? He's got more of a smile on his face there.
Ooh, I'm liking the stash.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
That's cool. What do you think about the fact that he stretches in the locker room in only a jock strap?
Sexy.
Sexy. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. There's two things about
very
that.
Comfortable.
There's two things I don't like about that. Is one is like, are guys still wearing jock straps?
Apparently he is.
I don't know if that's true or not. Most guys are spandex guys now, just the bike shorts or what have you.
Apparently. I don't know. That then, mustache is old school, man. I feel like he'd be...
He strikes me as a guy that's probably pretty hairy, too. So it's not just the jock strap. It's a hairy Tom Selleck looking dude.
So you're saying the hair goes top to bottom.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah.
This just in. A locker room is a pretty disgusting place. I feel like some dude... with a porn mustache and a bandana stretching in only a jock strap, it kind of just fits in an NFL locker room like it's just like another ride at Disney World. Like, oh yeah, there's the carousel, there's the Peter Pan ride, there's a little roller coaster with the seven dwarfs.
No, that's weird because your jock, if you're stretching in front of your locker room naked, you're next to other people that are sitting
that's
down.
That's not just
the
normal thing that goes
no,
on?
No, no, it's not a normal thing. Like, it's reported because it's not normal.
Yeah, I
guess
you're
just
right.
Weird.
I guess you're...
There was a
right.
guy. There was a guy at the Texans early on. He's a front office employee, and
stretched in a jock strap.
He's not with the Texans anymore. No. But he used to. For one, there were two things that he did. One is in the cafeteria, he would do this. He would go by the buffet. Let's say there's like a cheese and the fruit and cheese out of the buffet or something. Mm. He would pick up a piece of cheese from the buffet,
like a cube.
Look at it.
No.
And put it back.
No.
Yeah. You do this with other food items, too. He might take up a
with
piece of food.
With his grimy hands?
Yes. Look at it and then place it back like he was a four-year-old or something. And then the other thing that he would do...
Did somebody ever tell him to stop doing
well,
that?
Well, they sent out a memo. Because wait. Okay. So then the other thing he would do is he would, in the bathroom, he'd be buck naked in the bathroom, in the locker room. There's a locker room for both coaches and some of the staff members, some of the front office staff. He would stand there and put his foot up on the counter. He'd stand, put one foot up on the counter, buck naked, and then take the hair dryer and blow his nether regions with a hair dryer in front
Ted
of everybody.
Ted used to complain about a guy at his gym that did that.
Yeah.
Might have been the same guy.
Yeah, no. He doesn't live around here anymore. I wouldn't be telling the story if it wasn't. So
they drove him to the city limits.
They did one of these things where they sent out an
Kicked
nobody
him
wanted
out.
To address it personally, so they just sent out a memo to the entire staff.
Okay, now hang on. Did they send out a memo about the cheese cube thing? And the blow dryer of the Grundle thing?
I don't know if they did anything about the blow dryer thing or not.
Okay.
It feels like, and it's one of those things, I think if it were a coach or something, one of the other coaches would have just said, what the hell are you doing? You know, unless it's the head coach. But there's something about a front office employee that I feel like everybody probably is a little bit nervous to say anything, so nobody said anything.
Boy, that is really flexing your muscles as a front office guy.
They had to send a memo about the food, because that's a safety item. That's a safety issue.
And the blow dryer thing isn't?
Yeah, think about that. He goes straight from blow drying his ass into feeling up the cheese cubes. He the whole damn buffet had a Me Too case. It was disgusting, this guy.
I'm being sued by a cheese platter.
I was fondled without permission.
God, that is horrible. So what was his name? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell me later. So speaking of the front office, the Texans are...
To be clear, if anybody's guessing right, he wasn't like a big name, but nobody would guess it. Okay. It wasn't, yeah.
You're getting
it wasn't
a lot of Rick Smith on
Yeah, honestly, and I'm being 100% completely honest here. It
Charlie
Casserly. It wasn't a big name at all. This was like, it was one of these... what's going on, see? Let me tell you about a dingleberry. It's a... Well, the whole thing about Trell Owens, you see, we used to evaluate him at the combine, and he didn't have the dingleberry quotient was.
I'm the blow dryer.
I wonder what the hell that was. Is that what dingleberry sounds like? No, it wasn't Casserly. It wasn't anybody that anybody would guess.
Thanks, Seth.
It was like a more nondescript, non-public front office.
Text message. Thanks, Seth. I didn't want breakfast anyway.
Well, I didn't tell you to picture Casserly doing it. This was not like
is pleasurable to picture doing that?
You didn't have to get detailed in your description. Oh, it definitely wasn't like Schwarzenegger or somebody like that. Yeah,
because that'd be fine if he was doing it.
All right, the front office employee least likely to blow dry his ass with his foot up on the counter, I would say, would definitely probably be Casserly. Yeah. I could never see Rick Smith doing that.
No.
Yeah, it was a weird thing.
I think it's a weird thing for human beings.
In a work environment, especially. Yeah.
Yeah, let alone front office.
One time down here, when I used to ride my bike to work when it was possible, I got here one day and I took my shower down in the company gym there area. And I realized
in this building here, you're
saying? Building. And I realized I'd forgotten a towel. And it was at the time I was doing the midday show, and it was like 9:40 a.m. So what am I going to do? I had no choice but to use a combination of paper towels and the wall-mounted hand dryer. It had a movable nozzle. So I was buck naked. Dude. There and waiting just, and it's right next to the main door too. So I kind of had the towel next to me, and I had my eye on the door the whole time as I was like contorting myself, trying to get dried off in this dryer.
Wow.
So if somebody walked in, I was going to have to snap the towel back around.
It's pretty resourceful.
Yeah.
You had to dry off with paper towels?
Paper towels and a blow dryer.
You're a gigantic human being. How many rolls of paper towels did
you
take?
It never completely got the job done because I started sweating midway. You contort yourself
you're a sweater.
And I'm like, I'm creating sweat as I'm trying. So then I just threw my clothes on wet and came up to the
radio. Sweating more out of contortion or out of just the pure stress of the situation?
Stress of almost being found out.
Yeah.
Like,
and the fact you had a show to do in 20 minutes.
No, it was one of those. Yeah, it was one of those things too where you work out and you try to take a shower immediately after. You're going to sweat anyway.
I hear you.
Yeah.
So somehow I found myself on the press conference Bill O'Brien did back during the Brian Gain era, right before the combine. And I got to thinking about some of the moves that William O'Brien, Esquire General Manager, has made over the last several weeks. And I think I think we're going to be doing the autopsy on the Gain-O'Brien relationship for some time going forward. Maybe until the team has another general manager in place. We're going to be trying to figure out, okay, what exactly went sideways? What could have gone sideways transactionally that led to the breakup of O'Brien and Gain as the... aligned, non-flat structure to run this team.
Uh-huh.
And I think I found one that they may have disagreed on. All right?
Yep.
I'm going to play the audio, and then I'm going to tell you my forensics and my handicap on why I think this is the case. Here is Bill O'Brien talking about Tyrann Mathieu. This is back before Mathieu signed with the Chiefs. This is Bill O'Brien talking about how awesome Tyrann Mathieu is.
He's a guy that really meant a lot to our locker room. I mean, I've said it time and time again. This guy came in and was there from the off-season program, and then at the end of the training camp was voted a team captain. I mean, I think that says a lot about the impact he had, just not just as a player, but also what he meant leadership-wise in the locker room. So there's no doubt that we would love to have Tyron back.
Tyron went for $14 million a year to Kansas City, which at the time I didn't have a big problem with them not paying. Had I known they would have $45 million in cap space at the end of the offseason, I probably would have felt differently.
It's true. We assumed, well, hey, you don't want to spend $14 million when you're about to spend on a big left tackle, right?
Which they didn't spend on that either. No. Yeah. So in retrospect, I probably would have been like, okay, well, if you're not going to spend it, at least spend it on the Honey Badger. Between that cut, the fact that Bill O'Brien gave $11 million a year to Nick Martin based almost solely on leadership, I have to think that $14 million probably felt like a bargain for a guy who was actually good at football
yeah.
in Tyron Matthew. So that is where I'm putting my
but
chips.
But I don't know, because I'm looking at Tyron Matthew, and I think of specific games where Tyron Matthew himself and his mistakes versus tight ends might have cost you the game.
Uh-huh.
Like the
and
Eagles
Nick Martin
game.
Didn't have any mistakes?
Well, oh, Nick Martin, right. Yeah, no, Nick Martin's a whole different
stuff. I'm saying it's a combo.
But I don't know. I'm actually, I think if I'm Bill O'Brien looking at it, what did Tyron Matthew do last year that really impressed you all that much?
He did. I mean, forced a couple turnovers early on in the season.
Yeah.
He didn't tackle very well. You're right. Look, I was somebody who said I don't think you should spend $14 million on him. You know, in retrospect, like I said, if I knew they were going to spend nothing,
right.
I'd rather have Tyron Matthew than nothing. Although I think Tayshaun Gibson may wind up being fine in this whole thing. I'm with you. Like I think the
but
myth of
was,
the Honey Badger is okay. much bigger than the actuality of the Honey
but
Badger.
But for whatever reason, you think Bill O'Brien really liked the
yes,
Honey Badger.
Yes, I think, yeah. Well, I think okay. here's why I'm injecting the Nick Martin thing. I think O'Brien is a guy who might overvalue all these esoteric leadership qualities in guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely think that Bill O'Brien probably would have spent a lot more of the cap money than Brian Gain did. I think we've seen that by the way he's behaved as the general manager since he took the job and giving Nick Martin contracts, overpaying to get Laremy Tunsil, maybe underplaying what they got out of Jadeveon Clowney. Like I think O'Brien just wants good players in here. I don't think he's really into the whole. I don't think he's into the whole. Well, you're a good player at $12 million, but at $13.5 million,
I don't know. He wants to pay because, or if you're good, then here's
the
money.
Love the guy.
We'll keep you. Yeah, but that's like me on a shopping spree when I've got a budget, but like I mean that's the problem with the difference between a head coach and a general manager. The head coach would love to buy everything. The head coach is me. I'm telling you.
Right.
Every weakness that Bill O'Brien has as a head coach, I see. It's like I'm looking in the mirror. He's impulsive. He's temperamental. He makes snap decisions. He might not have all that great a sense of spending under a budget. All these things that Bill O'Brien does as a GM, that's me as a person.
So I ask you.
Right.
I ask you, is there validity to my hypothesis?
I think there's a validity to it. But I do wonder, though, too. Because one of the things that he talked about in that press conference at the Combine is how it's important to build through the draft and not free agency.
Yeah, we need to go back through some of the quotes from that press. That was an amazing press conference in retrospect.
He's done the exact opposite.
Yes.
Now, it hasn't been free agency. It's been trading, which is even more expensive than free agency.
But it's going out and getting guys who have, like, the big thing, it was the draft for the purpose of getting guys, quote, into your culture.
Right.
And he's gone out and got a bunch of guys who haven't spent any time in this culture.
He spent, like, Larry Tunsil spent time in Miami's culture.
He did.
Did he pick up some good stuff there?
I like him so far.
I do like him so far. Yeah. He's taken personal responsibility for sacks that weren't from last year.
He's practically taken personal responsibility for the 62 times it happened when he wasn't even on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he did point out that a lot of the sacks aren't the offensive line's fault.
Yeah.
He said it's the running backs, the tight ends, it's everybody. But he didn't do it like in a throwing anybody else under the bus kind of way. So, but since Bill O'Brien in that press conference gushed about Tyron Matthew, this is what I'm saying. Take with a grain of salt anything he said in that press conference, because he also said how important it is to build through the draft.
That's true.
And then he traded away his next two first-round picks.
Yeah, yeah.
The exact opposite of building through the draft.
Yeah,
he brought in a guy more expensive than a free agent because he spent two first-round picks and he's going to have to pay him a big contract. So everything he said in that press conference, I might just throw it completely out the window.
That feels like a Wednesday thing next week to do, I think.
No.
Go back through that pre-combine.
Oh, okay.
I watched the whole press conference. Don't ask me how I wound up on it.
Yeah.
I was looking for something for a piece that I was writing. And so I got sucked in because I'm like, oh, well, let's see how much of the stuff in this press conference has either come to fruition or completely been burned like a bunch of books in the backyard.
Right.
And a lot of it's been burned like a bunch of books in the backyard.
I think the biggest thing about O'Brien is like he's pretty proficient at the coach speak. And where I've come to realize over time is it's hard for you to bring up anything he said in a press conference to me and think and convince me that he actually meant anything by it.
Yeah.
Like, he's really good with giving the platitudes and things like that, but I don't know if you ever necessarily really learn something when he talks about certain things.
No, but some of the stuff is interesting in retrospect. Like, he was very complimentary of Jadeveon Clowney in that press conference.
Right.
Like, very complimentary.
Yeah. Which, again, like, so it didn't necessarily mean anything.
Well, except that they dumped him for a third round pick and a couple of guys. Like, he was talking about him like a player they would want to keep around.
Right, which is what I'm saying. It was the opposite of what actually was.
Yeah. But the thing, some of the things that lined up, like the Matthew thing, to me lined up perfectly with what I think O'Brien would have done. Like the Kareem Jackson, he talked about Matthew and what a great leader he was. He kind of talked a little less effusively about Kareem Jackson. He's been a good player, and he's originally drafted here, and he's been here for a long time. And hey, it takes two to tango, and that's business. And they end up not even offering the guy a contract. Like, okay, that lined up.
Right, that did line up. But that was when the guy who was in charge was the guy that ended up getting fired, too. So that would have been in line with what Bill O'Brien wanted. I guess this is where I'm going with it, is that I think you might be giving Bill O'Brien too much credit for kind of having any kind of strategy at all, where really in reality, I think what it is he didn't like some of the things Brian Gain did, and at some point he starts blaming other people for, like, I think there's a lot of blame game at times with anybody, with any human being, but with O'Brien, because of his impulsiveness and because of his temper and because of other elements, I feel like it might have just been as simple as Bill O'Brien looking at this roster at a certain point in time and getting fed up and saying, this isn't where I want to be right now.
He's definitely looking at it through a different prism back in February than he was come July. No doubt about
that. Something switched in him.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was Easterby or not. I know that, look, Albert Breer wants you to know that Jack Easterby isn't a hatchet man, but he said that before anybody said that Jack Easterby was a hatchet man, which makes me wonder, is Jack
Easterby... You think thou doth protest too much?
Yeah, exactly. Why am I reading an article by Albert Breer where one of Easterby's friends says, he's not a hatchet man? I'm like, whoa, wait a second. I didn't even say you're a hatchet.
You're gonna feel like he is over the next 6 months.
That's like when you walk in and then somebody had spilled the milk and one of your children says, I didn't do it.
Like, more often than not.
Clearly you did this.
Right. You are a hatchet man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.